Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 208, here as always with the feverish Fanero. Fanero, will this be the week that we knock Dave out of the sky, off the hill? He's taking advantage of us in Rookie Fever prediction game. I don't even know what's going on, but I feel bad feelings. Words can't describe it, Fanero.
So I thought about this, and everything we do on Rookie Fever, we try to make actionable, right? So this is what you want to do, listeners. You want to not, in any of your redraft leagues or dynasty leagues, don't start anybody that I predict, but consider starting them the following week. This trend happened last year. I always pick the guy a week early. Always a week early. So if I say a guy in week three, like I'm going to do this week, start him in week four.
Finero's changing it to dynasty stashes. Like, my guys will hit sometime.
Exactly.
No, then they'll start hitting that week if he changes it to stashes.
It's not true.
And there he is, the man of the hour, top of the hill, deflating you from the space man.
This is uncomfortable. I'm not used to getting these predictions, rookie predictions, right. I feel awkward. I don't know what it's like to finish in the positive 2 weeks in a row. I didn't know how what it was to get positive 1 week, let alone two in a row. My luck is changing soon. Don't worry, Fanero and Swag. It's changing.
You played us. You poker face son of a bitch. All last season you played us and you're like, oh, I'll be a friend of the show. And you played us and now look at what's happening.
Yeah, now that we put up first round picks in our lead together, Swags, of course, this went perfectly, so.
Oh my goodness, that had to come into play. Mm-hmm. What a week. What a week. Shanahan is still in the Rookie Fever doghouse. Brandon Ayuk, Trey Sermon, no shows.
Trey Lance.
How do you feel about that? Yeah, Trey Lance. Fanero doesn't want to talk about it.
I mean, the backfield's no shouldn't be a huge surprise. Like, everything that we thought was going to happen with this backfield has happened. People have gotten hurt, yep. As we said. I think every time we talked about Mostert, I brought up Trey Sermon's injury history, and what does he do the first play of the game? He gets concussed. Will he play this week? Not sure. Elijah Mitchell also gets hurt, which I wasn't even concerned about Elijah Mitchell's health. I was concerned about him getting on the field, but Mostert certainly opened that up. So those weren't a big deal. Mm-hmm. This Ayuk stuff is just not healthy for anyone.
Are you concerned?
Yeah, I am starting to get concerned. I know it's only 2 weeks. I tend to not get concerned over 2 weeks, but I don't like hearing the stuff I was hearing from the coach. I don't like hearing that. Like we talk about all off season, like when to believe in something, and we always talk about coach speak, and you know we don't put a lot of credence in it, but in season that changes a little bit. When the coach calls a player out, I really want that player to show up that week, and that didn't happen. You know, like I was kind of depending on IU to kind of, I mean, he had a larger role because he had no role week one, but I was kind of hoping for, I started him in a couple leagues where I had the opportunity to, because I thought there was going to be a big bounce back week. And so I'm a little concerned.
Did you see the Schefter breaking news though with Ayuk, his tweet?
No.
He Ayuk did not purchase Shanahan's kids' Girl Scout cookies. So that's what's happening. That's why he's in the doghouse. He did not support the family, whatever. And so that's why he's in the doghouse. It has nothing to do with the hamstring injury that he's been dealing with. It's all about that he didn't buy any Girl Scout cookies. So
wait, you're kidding though, right?
Yeah. Yes, I'm kidding.
I mean, honestly though, can you blame him? Have you seen the price of Girl Scout cookies?
I know. Who cares if he's a first round pick?
I like to support all like that kind of stuff. But Girl Scout cookies have gotten very proud of their cookies the last few years. So I can't blame him. My question though is, I mean, I guess at this point, do you think Brandon Ayuk can arise to the challenge?
I do. But the concern is always about opportunity. I mean, if there's going to be a coach problem, who was the other San Francisco 49er?
It's Dante Pettis, and the narratives. I actually talk about this on Tales of Rivals this week. The narratives does like Ayuk doubled his rookie year, doubled everything that Dante Pettis ever did. They're in different atmospheres. So clearly,
I'm not the first one to bring that one up. It sounds like
it's a sore spot for me.
Yeah, I got you. No, I mean, I think Ayuk, like, he was beyond flashed. I believe, like, the last time I looked up, like, a healthy Ayuk at the end of the season was, like, a wide receiver one last year. And I chased that this season for sure. I picked up a couple shares. In the few redrafts I'm in, I own Ayuk in every single one of them. Like, Ayuk is a value for sure. I probably own him in Scott Fish. Like, it sucks a little bit what's going on.
Oh, it does. So at this point, though, I mean, you said he was a value. I'm thinking about maybe going to try to buy some more of that dip.
I had a trade offer. I'll have to try to remember later in the show or look it up. Ayuk was involved. And I believe the weird part about it, and I'll look it up for you guys later, but in the show. But the weird part about it was a dip for a dip. Like whatever player they were going for was also low in value.
Yeah, you'll have to try to find it. I'm very curious.
That was it. That was it. Spaceman nailed it. It was Ayuk for CEH.
Oh, I'm taking Ayuk all day.
Yeah. It's still sitting there.
I would do that, dude.
Does a 14-teamer change it for you?
No, nothing could change that for me.
Oh, okay. I mean, well, you just hate CEH so much.
I mean,
it's a good week to hate
for,
on him.
For Brandon Ayuk to do what he did in his rookie year, compared to any rookie running back to do what they did in their rookie year, and then to not be that impressed with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and how he's starting his second season now, I'm more concerned about that player that's actually on the field and started the season healthy versus Brandon Ayuk. And I think that part of the reason he didn't outplay in camp was because of his injury. And I think that there's more to it than just that, and now Ayuk has to show that he's ready in his head and everything, and I think that will surely happen.
Dave, would you do that deal?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the only thing that's hesitate as someone who happened in my home league. I actually bought both of them, or I went and got both of them, and they both have flopped for me. So I with CEH, and that's my only CEH I have in Dynasty is. They've played Cleveland and Pittsburgh, or Cleveland and Baltimore. I have to think that things could change, except for him, you know, fumbling to lose the game and then losing a goal line touch and then a goal line target. You know, what could go wrong with CH? So yeah, I think I would at this point lean Ayuk, but I'm not. I have a couple of things like I'm debating CH for Pollard and Pollard Plus right now, and my head is trying to go get that, but I'm going to wait one more week just because I don't want to. You know, it is Dynasty. I don't want to overreact a little bit.
And so. I mean, with that trade too, with what Dave said, I mean, that's kind of even what my head was thinking a little bit is at some point you're going to have a big CEH game or a decent, should I say. And then same with Ayuk. And at that point, somebody's going to regret the trade first. But still, I want Ayuk in the long run. That's who I want. Absolutely.
He's a premium wide receiver. Size, speed, he can create yards off the catch. He can get the ball downfield. I think he's almost a perfectly built wide receiver. I don't, except for maybe some injury concerns.
Yep. My favorite new thing about fantasy football and Dynasty, we'll say, is that a couple years ago, Clyde Edwards-Helaire fell into the perfect system. And now people's new thing is like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is really good, but he's just in the wrong system. And I find that cute and very interesting that at one point it was perfect. And then this running back that by all means, I mean, it would be better to just say was overdrafted rather than be in the wrong system is now failing in what was a perfect system. And I don't know. It's...
quite the rookie rewind here to start things off. Holy smokes.
I know. Burrito.
without a rookie rewind sounder. I'll just point that out.
All right, that was actually a fast forward. Nice. So we can hop into this top 12 here.
Man, Kenneth Gainwell, RB42, 8.7 points, 6 attempts, 14 yards, 2 receptions on 3 targets for 18 yards. Gainwell continues to be the only running back, repeat, the only running back with a single snap behind Miles Sanders. There is no Boston Scott. Last week, no Boston Scott. This week, so much for 50-50 Boston Scott, Miles Sanders. And I will repeat, Kenneth Gainwell seems like a complimentary back and just a complimentary back with 33%. Seems to be pretty consistent, right around one third of the snap share.
Yeah, he's fourth among all rookie RBs in weighted opportunities. So that's weights, targets a little bit heavily for fantasy use. But yeah, so fourth in weighted opportunities per game, fourth in opportunity share of the opportunities in that back in the backfield. Mm-hmm. And then he's fourth in overall touches. So it's not only in share, but in actual raw numbers. And then the only thing is he did have a slight decrease in snaps, but nothing significant last, like from week one to week two. So, but yeah, this is, I mean, this is what shows you, you know, these kind of backs, especially in this format that we're playing in, can be a little value just because of the receiving upside.
He is the only running back on the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles, to have a touchdown, either rushing or receiving.
And I mean, to me, the Eagles looked completely different week two than they did week one. You saw Miles Sanders looked really good week one. Devonta Smith looked really good week one. And now Kenneth Gainwell, like you said, that he had the touchdown. He's the only Eagle on this list. We'll just tease that a little bit. So Miles Sanders, like you said, he's still the guy I want on the Eagles team, quite honestly. And then
I agree.
Like you said, Gainwell's that satellite back. He's going to be behind him all year. But showing some value early on, though. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, more than I thought.
Yep. Same.
I thought it was going to be pretty crowded back there. It's not at all. It's just two backs.
It's one of those things where him sitting out because of COVID really hurt his draft capital, because it didn't take him very long to show his skill to overtake Boston Scott, who didn't play poorly last year. This is a situation where COVID, that really hurt him, because that draft capital did not reflect how he was as a prospect. And we're seeing that not later on in the season after working his way and overtaking veterans from week one. So that's, I think that says a lot about Gainwell. I think maybe we should be being a little bit more optimistic than we are, possibly, just with how good he's been doing considering his draft capital.
Yeah, that's fair. And being behind Miles Sanders, with that said, and still doing that well.
Mm-hmm.
And then at number 11, we have Miami confirming some of the feverish Fornero's worries this week with Tua getting injured with that awful O-line. Still, Jalen Waddle made the top 12. Not quite as great as week one. Wide receiver 57, 8.8 points, 6 receptions, 8 targets is nice. 48 yards. Week three, he will have Brissett throwing in the ball.
Yeah, so he's second on the team in targets, right behind Parker. Parker has 16. He has 14. You know, if he isn't, just after 2 weeks, if he isn't the alpha wide receiver, he certainly will soon be. Parker still looked decent. I think the quarterback thing, I mean, it seems like it's kind of a league-wide thing right now. These quarterbacks going down is not good for fantasy football, not good for NFL football. I'm not a huge fan of Brissett. I don't think this helps Waddle. You guys can correct me if you think differently, but I would have liked to have seen Tua and Waddle continue their chemistry. I believe we now have, we're beyond bruised ribs, correct? Do we have cracked ribs?
Fractured
ribs now. So I don't there's a timetable out there, but I would think that's, you know, at least a month, but I could be wrong.
I hope everyone appreciates Tua after they've seen what it looks like when Jacoby comes in.
Yeah.
And Waddle's ADOT was 11 with Tua, and now it dropped all the way to 2.4 yards per target with Brissett. Just atrocious. Did they score any points? Was it did they put up as a goose egg?
Yeah, I think
so. Last week? It was, at least for a long time, it was 0 points. Not good. Not like,
That was awesome analysis. Just not good.
But I'm being serious. Like, everyone's going to crap all over Tua. Well, we've seen what life is now without Tua. And I want Tua back, please. Because it's for Jalen Waddle and these. And Will Fuller's coming back.
Yep.
Oh, don't even get swag started about Will Fuller coming back.
But it's not like Jacoby Brissett can really.
No,
what can
he?
Ugh.
But do not speak his name.
That's for Will Fuller. You can say Brissett all you want, Dave.
Not allowed to say Will Fuller.
Well, oh, I'll say some more positive Waddle things at least, because I don't want to be doom and gloom here, because Waddle did have a pretty decent game last week, considering how crappy the situation was, in that he was still involved in 77% of the routes last week. So he is being heavily used regardless of who the quarterback is. So that's at least indicative of his talent and what Miami thinks of him and keeping him out in the field.
Love it. The tight end I want in my garden, Pat Freiermuth, tight end 17, 9.6 points, 4 receptions, 4 targets, 36 yards. I'm not joking when I say it, because you can't get Pitts to put in your garden. The price you're paying for Kyle Pitts, you're instantly putting him in your starting lineup pretty much with the price you have to pay for Kyle Pitts. Pat Freiermuth, this is the tight end I want in my garden from this class. I think he's taking over for Eric Ebron. All jokes aside, way quicker than I thought he would. I'm really excited to see it. I don't think he's going to cost you too much, but I think that the price will slowly increase. He's not going to be your TJ Hockenson. That's not what I'm saying, but I think you're going to get a very tight end one with Pat Freiermuth and a pretty solid floor here. I don't know. I'm excited. I don't know how you guys are feeling about Freiermuth.
It's easy to get excited about early tight end involvement or usefulness. Like, now we don't have anything useful here. We have 5 targets over 2 games, but what I do like is just looking at the snap shares. It was 50-50. They decided as a team, we're going to have Ebron out there, we're going to have Freiermuth out there, 50-50. That flipped to 60-40 just after 1 week, and we saw a result of that, right? So now Freiermuth is finding his way on this list. Again, reminding our listeners, this is a tight end premium. I don't think he would have made this list without that, but that being said, a lot of leagues that we play in Dynasty are tight end premium, and to see something this early, this glimpse of him overtaking Ebron, a veteran on a team like this, I just would like to see Pittsburgh use their tight ends a lot more. Through 2 games, there's 9 targets between both tight ends.
Yep.
Like that's like almost non-existent use. So like that's really, really low use. I believe, is Deontay Johnson healthy this week?
Doesn't sound healthy.
Yeah, it's questionable, right? So maybe the tight ends get a little more involved. It would have been nice if maybe Pat Freiermuth would have just missed this list. I think he would have been at the top of somebody's pick for predictions with a Deontay Johnson and all of his targets. What, he had 12 targets last week or something? Shit like that. So that might involve the tight ends a little bit more. I'd like to see that in week 3.
And just to piggyback what Fenero was saying, it wasn't just snaps too. In week 1, they split the routes. They ran the same amount of routes. Freiermuth overtook him in routes by, like, he was running 50% of the routes last week, and Ebron was only running like 37% of the routes. So it's not, and so in 2 weeks, he's overtaking a veteran just like that. That's another positive sign, especially for a tight end. Like, Kmet, you guys remember, like, Kmet, who we were really excited about last year, or who people got really excited about. It took him half of a season to start doing Jimmy Graham.
Yep.
And now it's already happening for Freiermuth, but there's no buzz right now. I'm not hearing a lot. It's our job on Rookie Fever to start the fever here, guys. Let's go. Let's go, Freiermuth.
Do we want to call
voice of you, Pat Freiermuth?
Do we want to call Pat 4-for-4?
4-for-4, Pat.
Gabriel Davis was 8-for-8 for from like a 8 good year and a half.
Gabriel Davis to Donut Davis. With no catches this week for Gabriel Davis. Thanks for bringing it up. I feel like you had to find a way to just like stab my heart.
Sorry.
4-for-4, Pat Freiermuth. So yeah, go get him and add him to your garden. You can tell we all like him here. So
he's in my garden.
Yeah, I bet. I've got a little bit, but not enough. I'm not going to lie. Not enough. I thought we'd have to wait a little bit longer, and now I'm saying, like, go out and get him. Like, have him somehow as a throw-in or make some offers. Number 9, Elijah Mitchell, falling a little bit down the board to running back 34 with 11.55 points, 17 attempts, 42 yards, 2 receptions, 2 targets, 11 yards. Still good to see for a rookie to be running back 34, all honestly. Like, we've seen way worse from way better running backs and even still making the top 12, but just to be a running back 3 is pretty promising. How do you feel about Elijah Mitchell, guys, like moving forward? He's I'll just say and throw it to you guys. You'll have to interrupt each other, but I want to sell him.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way. I think going back to what we talked about at the top of this show, I think anybody in this backfield is going to be hard to trust. If I had to pick someone, especially now after kind of like how I see it shuffling out, I'm probably going to invest more in Trey Sermon than I would have. And I know that sounds funny coming from me, like kind of being that guy trying to calm down people about Trey Sermon. It would seem like it's a little easier this week. I'm not going to pick on Trey Sermon. They were going to put him in this game as soon as Mitchell got hurt. And I think he would have been the better back if he was given the opportunity in that game to do so. It's a little shame with the concussion. I do like what I saw from Elijah Mitchell, but I also feel like it just feels like every single back is going to succeed in San Francisco. It seems like it could be any single name. And the reason I'm off of it is we got oh my God, help me out. What's his name's coming back? Probably in about 5 weeks.
Jeffrey Wilson.
Yeah. I think that's going to muddy the waters up again. I mean, the good thing is that you don't have to worry about Mostert, but we pretty much thought that was going to happen at some point. It's happened earlier and longer than we thought, so that helps. And I think Elijah Mitchell's going to be useful. Like, if you picked him up and you spent fab on him, as long as you weren't one of those people that spent all your fab on him, you know, and you have him, he's going to be useful. He's going to have gains. I would start him this week for sure. But it's just, it's one of those things where I can't get excited. Therefore, yeah, if someone else is more excited than me, sell.
Whenever I hear, so this is kind of, I feel like I'm starting to learn this from Swags a little bit here. When I hear people that, you know, I hear people start to say the same thing, like, oh, you both immediately said sell, I felt like. So what does that mean? Oh, you both want to sell. Well, is that a buying opportunity then? If everyone's saying sell, in my head. And then I'm thinking too, well, what about when, if Trey Lance gets in there, because Jimmy G has been a hot pile of trash. I think this, and that's, the, I think that's, people are going to say, well, he's the QB12 or QB13 last week, Dave. What are you talking about? But he, you know, at a 4A dot, you tell me that Trey Lance can't throw the ball 4 years, do what Jimmy G did last year or last week. Give me a break. Cut that out. So, what happens when you have that dynamic Trey Lance get in there? Maybe the whole offense, like they're throwing the ball like 6 or 7 or 5 less times per game through the first 2 weeks than they did last year. Just overall, this offense has not been what it should be. So maybe you buy like a little bit of a decrease, like a little bit of a dip in San Francisco, just to be contrary. I'm trying to be like play the other side.
I'm with you if you're talking about the wide receiver core, like we talked about earlier with Ayuk. I'm not with you with the running back.
Well, I'm kind of with you, but I'm kind of more with Fenero in that I'd rather, and I think at this point I could almost get Trey Sermon a little bit cheaper, if not for around the same price as Mitchell. And that's probably still the investment that I think would help my future a little bit more. I would take any random second, no matter what you're trying to do with your team from 2022 or 2023 for Elijah Mitchell today. I might even do the same for Sermon, to be fair, but I would do that no matter my contention cycle, because it's one of those things where it's kind of like I bought the cheap tires and the tread's gonna wear out really quick, and I can do decent with them now. I don't think I can get that second in 2022 or 2023, and I think that it would be a sound investment to invest in better tires and get some kind of insurance policy, and that's the second, you know. So for me, and that's what I've done with a lot of like the Tyson Williams shares that I had. And I look at it also as kind of like, how much fab would you throw on a 2022 second? And I'd probably throw more on one of those than I would some of these players we're getting right now.
I agree with you, except for the part where you said any contention cycle. I think having a running back like Mitchell for games, like, for example, trying to think, is there – that you need to start backs in fantasy football. So if you have a starting running back on San Francisco, it's a good situation. Now you're right, Swags. It's not going to last long. That's where I am with you. But I think if I'm, because it's all about winning a championship. So like if he could be the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs for a team, depending on where they are in the contention cycle. So for me, like, it's just that one little part where you said, no matter where I am in the contention cycle, I'm going to give up a second. That made me think about teams where I have them, and it made it real for me. And when I thought about it, I was like, well, one of the situations I wouldn't do it, because I really need a running back in that particular case, because Dobbins is out. And I was like, this is kind of helping me get by right now. And that's more valuable than a future second for me. So yeah,
And you took the words right out of my mouth, helping you get by. And that's kind of where I'm at with it is like, is he going to give you mixed emotions to where now you think you have a chance to actually win it because of Elijah Mitchell? Like, is he your difference maker in losing Dobbins? It's going to take you all the way to the top, or is he just going to make your pick worse at this point? Is like, how good is your team?
Yeah. Because week two, if you believe that
he's, I know it's tough to think this way, but to me, like, I don't think he's going to be easy to rely on weekly. You're always going to have a funny feeling when you're putting him into your lineup. I think, I know you can't start the 2022 second, and I've even said that kind of stuff, but to me, this is kind of about the competitive rebuild and feeling good enough about my teams now to not need him, starting to have a bad enough feeling just by looking at them. And you got to be able to look at it a little bit. Don't be too concerned about, I'm not worried about my 0-2 records. I can look at my teams and know how good I feel still before it falls apart more, but, and just how good you feel moving forward and start your lineups. So like, go a couple weeks out, look at your healthy rosters, see where the bye weeks are and how many times you feel like Elijah Mitchell will make it to your lineups. And maybe a 10, if you're starting 10 players versus 12, maybe that's a little difference too. But I don't know, Finero, did I talk you into selling at all?
No, because I think the other thing that kind of gets lost in some of this stuff is like when I said, well, I'm trying to make it real. Because I have a situation like that and it doesn't feel right to do. Another thing is like, I'm with you. Like, I think we're on the same page about his probability of not being a league winner. But I'm still willing to hold a guy on the chance that he might be. You know what I mean? I mean, there's still a chance of that.
Or if he puts like a few weeks together at the right time and somebody needs him, and then maybe you can get a first or a second and a third, to your point. Sure. I don't hate that at all.
Like, can I use the points, bank the points, and still get the second?
And to toe the line a little bit here, he had four more opportunities in this down week than Najee Harris did this week. He had 19 opportunities to Najee Harris's 15, I think. And then on top of that, to echo what Swags was saying a little bit is too, is what happens if he does fizzle out when these players come back, or, you know, he does get injured and you lose what that could have been that second round and that just fizzles out to anything. Well, and then you're like, well, what about my contention cycle then? Whereas what you could do is like, I'm not going to be starting him. I have that second in my pocket and then I can go get it back with that second plus or whatever I need to actually go get it back. That could be impactful.
Doesn't have to be over after you got that second.
Yeah.
No, if you're not starting him, then yeah. But yeah. I guess I was giving you a scenario where, you know, like you're trying to go into a season with Swift and Dobbins, you lose Dobbins and you get kind of, you know, blessed with this like easy, you know, guy that is wound up being the rookie one last week, hits the rookie list again, it's not, again, he's just an RB3 this week, but I think there's upside there.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
We're not talking about it because we don't believe in it. And I'm with you. I don't know how much I believe in it, but there's still a chance. I don't know for certain that this guy's going to fizzle out.
No, I mean, you make a good point, too. I mean, some players have already fallen off the week two top 12, you know, and some will come and go. Like, but Elijah Mitchell did make it 2 weeks in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, only one RB spot behind the next guy, number 8, Javonte Williams at running back 33 with 11.65 points. He did have 4 less attempts with 13 and more yards with 64. 1 reception, 1 target, 10 yards. Again, no touchdown. Like we said, we're waiting for that, but very promising with Javonte Williams.
Yeah, it was funny. We saw, I was again, and I'm sure Dave will have some more numbers. Just going after SnapShare again, I was curious if they were going to maintain the 50%. They wound up doing the same thing that the Pittsburgh tight ends did. They wound up rewarding Gordon with 60% of the snaps this week versus Javonte Williams 40%. Now, that could be game flow. If you just look at snaps, sometimes that's not the best way. So hopefully Dave has a couple more numbers for us. But sorry, Dave, not to put you on the spot, but you do always have numbers for us. The feeling out there in the community, I believe, is that Javonte Williams will take over this backfield. I do feel that way, but I still feel the same exact way I felt in the offseason. That's going to take a little bit. And I think Melvin Gordon's going to make it take a little bit longer than we want it to.
And while they, I actually did notice that too as well about the snap share bump for Melvin Gordon. But what did happen was, is that Javonte Williams had 51.7% last week of the opportunity share and Melvin Gordon had only 48%. It just flipped. Like, and it, all that is one opportunity being flipped. So it's, right, it's still essentially a 50-50 share between these two in week, you know, in the first 2 weeks with an established, a Pro Bowl veteran court or running back. Javonte Williams has gone and done this. And we, you don't expect that. Like, Nick Chubb didn't do that until what week? And I'm not saying Javonte Williams is Nick Chubb by any means, but I'm just saying what right, we get excited about rookie fever when we start reading the tea leaves here. This is what we want to see, that he is still holding off Melvin Gordon, or not even holding off. Like, Melvin Gordon's trying to hold him off at this point because he's already got 50% of that share.
My favorite part about that is Dave was one word away from calling Teddy Bridgewater an all-pro quarterback.
Did I say Teddy? He's no, actually next to my notes.
You name. You said with an all-pro quarter, and then you stopped and said running back.
Oh, okay. Because next to my notes is that Teddy Bridgewater is actually keeping this Denver offense relevant.
Not doing bad,
which,
yeah.
Which is all we need, is just keep this offense relevant, so, or at least passable, so we can get Javonte Williams and the Cortland Suttons and hoping when Jerry Jeudy comes back and all, and Noah Fant and all that stuff.
But I got to be honest before we go away from Williams, and I don't know if Finero or Dave, you have more you wanted to add, but I want to go get some Javonte Williams. I've got really good feelings about him. And I think that people are so impatient that you could probably make some decent, you'd be surprised, I think. We'll just say you'd be surprised. Add a little to, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like a second in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and go reap that reward.
Do you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets turned down for Javonte Williams at this point?
I think still namesake alone from, like, 2 years of too much buzz, if you add a second to that Clyde Edwards-Helaire side, and Javonte Williams' fantasy points looking worse than his production, I think that there's probability that you could work one out. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking if I could get it done straight up, like based on name cachet.
Oh, try it, dude. Yeah. Try it. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, just with the way, like you said, the name, but I would add to it if I had to. That would be a great trade. Like, could you, if you could get that sent out, and
I'm sending it out right now.
Accepted or rejected before the end of the show.
I would awesome. Wait a week. I wouldn't do it this week.
DM Finero and see if he'll accept that really quick.
The William stock is not going to change every 1 week, and the CEH stink will come off of this week. I would wait 1 week before you throw that out there.
But what if it gets accepted?
What if it doesn't?
You don't know, like, unless
how'd
you try.
Like that answer? I just think you wait a week. You got to give our listeners good advice. I don't know why you'd make a move for Williams.
Because I'm more concerned about Clyde Edwards-Helaire than I am Williams. So
no,
have a big Williams game, which I predict before a big Clyde Edwards-Helaire game, it's tougher to get Williams than it is to still get rid of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, the stink is only going to get worse for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't know. That's just how I feel about it. I'm more concerned about a big Javonte Williams big game and it getting tougher to buy him than I am waiting for the sell high of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Is that fair?
Yeah, then do it this week.
That's just what
I'm waiting. I'm waiting 1 week.
I hear you. We need.
I love the idea.
We need more than like 2 or 3 points from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I agree.
Again, I love the idea. I have a situation, again, another league that came straight to mind on that. And I would like to do that too. And I think the fact that all three of us would really like to do that probably means we should wait until CEH doesn't have a absolute stink bomb.
Or it means we're really smart.
Okay. Yeah, it could mean that. You're right. I did rule that out.
The bee's knees on rookie fever.
Speaking of the bee's knees, who is number 7 on the rookie list?
Number 7, Dave took Finero's Elijah Moore and turned him into wide receiver 44 with 12.7 points, 4 receptions, 8 targets. Very promising to see. 47 yards. Pretty decent week. Dave, how did you feel about taking that raid out of Finero's hand?
You know, I love when a plan comes together, like an A-team quote, and that's what happened. It was the week before Mitchell's from week one to week two, Mitchell's targets doubled. His target share doubled. His market share of the air yards increased significantly. Everything, and then his route participation. He's very active in all the routes that the Jets are running. All we're not seeing a ton of points from Elijah Moore, or like no touchdowns. You know, not but eight targets is exciting, and even and that's on a really bad Zach Wilson week and a lot of garbage, like a lot of just trailing. But that even that being said, promising week, even though it doesn't, you know, 4 for 47 doesn't sound very exciting, but it just shows you that it's not a very high bar for some of these rookies. And we all have positive, we all, at least I know Fennell really did, but we all overall liked Elijah Moore. So this is, I'm excited, especially after week two, because I was a little disappointed in week one. I'm feeling better. I'm getting a little bit hop my step back again with Elijah Moore.
I think Fennero would even go so far as to say low hanging fruit, Dave. And we're not going to let that happen to you this week when you're picking third.
All right.
I'm a little concerned about this offensive line for Elijah Moore. Zach Wilson looked real bad back there.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's concerning. I like the obviously the targets. Anybody want to take a guess at who's leading the team in targets by like considerably after 2 weeks? Considerably,
it's Braxton Berrios.
Yeah,
I picked him up on a few teams. I'm surprised I didn't think of that.
18 targets to Elijah Moore and Corey Davis, both having 12 over two games. That's considerable. Mm-hmm. So I don't suspect that that's going to last very long. I do believe that Elijah Moore and Corey Davis. Jameson
Crowder.
Yeah, good point. Jesus. I am concerned. I'm definitely concerned about this offense. I'm not concerned about, you know, from a dynasty perspective, I think Elijah Moore will be a worthwhile investment for those of you that got him before he was, you know, crazy expensive. But maybe, you know, maybe if this persists, maybe there's a buy low opportunity. We talk about this with wide receivers, every rookie wide receiver that isn't Justin Jefferson, that there tends to be a dip after that first year where you could probably get him a little cheaper. So, you know, I hope that doesn't happen. I want to see my Elijah Moore shares shine this year. But if the Jets are going to stink, it's going to be hard to take that stink off of Moore. But we'll see. I've seen some stinky offenses help rookies. It's all about target share. Corey Davis looks good. I think they'll help each other. I think Wilson's good enough. I think he'll figure it out, and the Jets will figure something out to make this manageable. Kind of like what Dave was saying about Denver, like just be good enough. Like make these assets, you know, give these assets an opportunity to show us something. Let us put them in our starting lineups by just being okay. I think Wilson can get there.
Yeah, I agree. We got to be patient with some of these quarterbacks. Number six, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver 42, 13.4 points, only four targets this week, two receptions, 54 yards, one touchdown. So still a decent week for a rookie. Wide receiver 42 fell a little bit, obviously, from week one. Still loving some Ja'Marr Chase.
Continues to be on the field more than any wide receiver. The targets, like you said, Swags, are down this week. T. Higgins is leading the target share with 15. Behind that, Tyler Boyd, and then Ja'Marr Chase. But after week one, it was all Ja'Marr Chase. And Ja'Marr Chase also has two of the four touchdowns this wide receiver crew has. So it looks like they want Ja'Marr Chase to be the feature on this offense. He's backing up everything that we thought he was going to be. And again, my slow start concerns for Cincinnati maybe, you know, popped up a little bit here, but Burrow looks good. Chase looks great. And I think there's really good things to come for Ja'Marr Chase. I don't think anyone really can deny that. I know that the targets were a little low this week, but I'm not worried about it.
I would just say, I think they need to stop running the ball so much with Joe Mixon. I think this offense would do a lot better if they weren't just running the ball with Joe Mixon so much, or at least maybe instead of just handing it off to him every time, throwing the ball a couple times and get him the ball that way out in space, how he's really good at doing. And I'm not saying that Joe Mixon has been bad. I just felt like they couldn't get anything started by just gaining a couple yards, gaining a couple, you know, I did that offense. You want to just let it rip. I know it was tough. I know Joe Burrow had a bad game, but they came back throwing the ball. It wasn't, oh, Joe Mixon didn't come and help them out. And get them back in the game. The offense, the wide receivers did. So hopefully they notice this heading into next week, and that they use Joe Mixon as a complement, not as a central part of the offense. If you know, because that's what it feels like, that, oh, Joe Mixon is just a big part. And why not just switch it to the, you know, you've got these three amazing wide receivers.
Yeah, give us some time, though. I think that, I mean, part of that is helping to take some of the pressure off Joe Burrow and making sure that he can build his confidence back up to actual NFL games and that game speed and not practices and preseason. And I think that, like you said, the let it rip and the catch up will, that winner's mentality will come back in at a certain point. And I think they will, dude. I think that they'll let it rip, you know, and they've got a hell of a receiving crew and Joe Mixon with the receiving upside. So there's plenty of places like for him to get that ball. And I think it could go back and forth. I think it could be the kind of thing where you could start Jamar Chase and T. Higgins together on your fantasy teams and reap the benefits of their average points together every week, even if that average was like 18 to 20 points, which is a decent amount of points. Depending on your scoring, that you might think that's a lot. But honestly, I think that like that 36 to 40 points with them combined would be feasible, even if one of them has 12 and the other one has the higher ceiling that week. So I think that we could see a lot of that throughout these guys' careers, as long as they're together.
Don't look now. T. Higgins, 27% target share. He's leading the way. 3 red zone targets. It hasn't all come together yet for T. Higgins here, but I think we're about to see a launch here. I know you guys know that I was talked about him a lot the offseason. I'm ready for this launch. I feel like it's about to take off.
Yeah. Number 5, Michael Carter. Tried to keep me alive. I appreciate you, Michael Carter. Running back 25, 13.55 points, 11 attempts, 59 yards, 2 receptions, 3 targets, 29 yards. Just shy of RB2 for Michael Carter. Are you guys buying this?
I just don't see anyone else there. So,
and P. Ryan didn't look good at all last year. He had his shot.
He and Ty Johnson are like leading this backfield. Tevin Coleman's non-existent. I think just through attrition, he's going to wind up being like somewhere in this area. Like, you know, he's going to have really low RB2 upside and he's going to probably live in the RB3 area. You know, that's usable. You can start that.
Without touchdowns again.
Or Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, good point. I would say Carter just because of the longevity of the season. If you're talking about the season, for sure.
I don't hate it.
Dynasty, too,
maybe
probably.
Even Dynasty. What are you thinking?
I think probably maybe more so in Dynasty.
Now, I have to say, I feel like I was the lowest of Michael Carter out of the show this offseason and heading into the season. I know you guys took him a lot more in anything that we did with the show. And I was not happy with how week one went for him at all. But I see here, and I sit here, 11 carries, 3 targets for 30 yards or 29 yards. This is, without the touchdown, this is good. Like this is better than I thought it was going to go after 2 weeks. So, I'm not sure if I'm going to go and buy it. I'm just saying that I'm happy that my doubts at least were, you know, I'm happy that I'm trending is to not, I don't want him not to do well. I'm glad he's doing well. And seeing improvement here because he is the type of back that you don't have Frank Gore on the field you don't have like a one dimensional grinder on the field. You can do both with Michael Carter, which is the benefit. You're not giving the offense away. So I like that in an offense with a lot of players that I like in this offense. So I like the duality of Michael Carter. So I hope he does well.
So are you two taking Michael Carter over Elijah Mitchell?
No. I'm just keeping him. I'm not trading them for each other. I'm keeping him where I have them. I won't trade Michael Carter for Mitchell. Like if I have Mitchell
on your dynasty team,
yeah, I'm not swapping either one. If they're staying in their corners, if I have one on one team, I'm keeping him. That's just how I'm. Like I'm 50 down the line. I'm being a coward with it. I like them both.
I don't hate that. I mean, sometimes like. I try to always give my honest answer, but sometimes when people ask you, like, would you trade, which side of this do you want, Carter or Mitchell? And you're just like, yeah, I mean, I guess this side, but why are you doing the trade? Like sometimes just to trade running back for running back, unless you really believe in the guy a ton more. But I think that I'd rather have Michael Carter in the end. Do you guys feel like you could get Michael Carter and a third for Elijah Mitchell, just with the Mitchell hype that's happened the last couple weeks?
Maybe.
That's not only a solid investment, that's a solid profit. You're profiting off what you already paid for Carter, which was more than Mitchell in your rookie drafts, and you have an investment for your future with that third.
Now you got me wanting to sell Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, honestly, I'm trying to hold fast here, but I am leaning Michael Carter. I'll say this much. It's tough for me to say, but I do like Michael Carter and that dual threat. Now, Mitchell did get two targets himself, so it's not like he wasn't a scrub either. But mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to go back to what Fenero said, though, in nobody's there with Michael Carter. I feel like I trust that situation and the healthy opportunity while he's there versus trying to figure out what's going to happen in San Francisco, even if it does end up being Mitchell. I feel like we can figure out that Michael Carter could feasibly be like this RB24 to RB30 area. So that's kind of where my head's at.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to talk about you're all too low on Kyle Pitts for being tight end 9 and having 14.8 points in a tight end premium with 5 receptions, 6 targets, and 73 yards, no touchdown. And I'm already seeing people ask if we should be concerned about Kyle Pitts. And I'm concerned about you if you ask the question.
It's probably just the lofty ceiling that people think that he should already be at week 2. He's right behind Calvin Ridley in targets, and I mean right behind. So we have Calvin Ridley with 18 targets, Kyle Pitts with 14, and then a pretty damn large drop-off. So it's exactly what we said. It looks like two wide receiver sets out there with Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts. I think the thing that's happening right now is that Matt Ryan doesn't look so good. So I think that's kind
of, I'll give you that.
I think that could be, it was one of my concerns this season and more importantly beyond this season, because I'm concerned about Ryan even being on the Atlanta Falcons next season for Kyle Pitts. And sometimes I look too far ahead with situations like that. Ryan's been a Falcon for quite some time. They might figure out a way to keep him. I just think it's a money thing at this point. You saw them let go Julio Jones. I think Matt Ryan's next. And then what does that mean for Kyle Pitts? Those were my concerns, and they're coming up a little bit this season, which is a little, well, I mean, shit, it's week 2. So for that concern to come up now, I mean, even Calvin Ridley owners who are hoping for a wide receiver, top 5 wide receiver, aren't getting that. And a lot of that is the Atlanta Falcons. So, you know, Kyle Pitts is on the Atlanta Falcons. So, you know, I do feel like that ceiling was already a lofty one. But to your point, Swags, I mean, what's not to like with those numbers? I mean, after 2 weeks, they are wide receiver numbers. That's what they are, mm-hmm. Plain and simple.
Do you guys know what ranked tight end he is through 2 weeks?
What are you referring to?
Like, he was a tight end what? Yeah, he's a tight end what in fantasy?
I don't know exactly. I'm going to guess.
Maybe right around there, 7. Tight end 9?
Tight end 8.
Yeah.
He's the only tight end in the top 8 or top 9 without a touchdown. So everyone ahead of him has a touchdown. He has more receiving yards than, I think, the 5 in front of him or 4 in front of him. So he's 2 points away from being the tight end 6 or 2.5 points away from being the tight end 6. Very early in the season without a touchdown, and you know they're going to want to get him touchdowns.
Right.
Because they took him, like, they had a chance at Jamar Chase. No, did they? Yeah, they took him over Jamar Chase, who is playing, they're both playing wide receiver, but they took Jamar Chase, they took Kyle Pitts here. So they're going to want to get him involved and get him, use him in the red zone where he does his best work in college. So, I think that, yeah, I'm ashamed for all the Kyle Pitts zealots to show some chinks in their freaking process and their armor. For doubting him, to be honest.
Yeah, or for actually thinking that he was going to start that strong in week 1 and 2 in the NFL, you know. If that's, I don't know, because even the people that were super high on him, I didn't think they thought that. I mean, this is really good to see, honestly. I don't know, I'm really excited. So, number 3, I'm not so excited about. Dimitri Felton, running back 20, 15.1 points, 2 receptions, 2 targets. He lucks into a touchdown with those 2 targets and 51 yards It is rumored that he could play a little bit more out of the slot with Jarvis Landry out. Odell Beckham Jr. is also likely back. They've got three solid tight ends they can deploy at any time. Kareem Hunt, Chubb. I'm not buying this dip, honestly. Maybe we see him a little bit again here and there, but...
Seventh round dart throw in the rookie fever eliminator, and he came through for that 1 week. He came through in the 1 week. So, like, he gave me what I needed, I needed 1 week from him this season, so I'm not, and he gave it to me. So that's, I'm happy. So there we go. That's my contribution.
You said we're knocking you off the hill, Dave.
Yeah, well, wait till he gets to talk about number one.
Oh,
yeah. I forgot. You reminded me. I was like, yeah, there we go.
Well, let's get there.
I agree.
Najee Harris, running back 9, 21.6 points. Number 2, by the way, we are not at number 1. 10 attempts, 38 yards, 5 receptions, 5 targets, 43 yards, 1 touchdown. A great week for Najee Harris.
It's exactly what we talked about.
This at all.
This Honestly. Is exactly what we talked about. That yeah. O-line crushed him in week 1. We said that they have to diversify how they use him. They got to use him in the passing game. What did they do? Used him in the passing game, 5 for 5, 43 yards and touchdown. That's how they have to use Harris.
Yep. I agree. Dave, so Finero helped me bring it in with number 12, Kenneth Gainwell. Why don't you bring it out with number 1 here?
Number 1, the most hated rookie ever in the history of prospects. The underdog, the true underdog, the little man, the Ant Man, the people's
Ant-Man
champ.
Sounds good. I like Ant Man though. I like that.
the people's champ, Rondale Moore, was wide receiver 7 for the week with 23.4 PPR points, 7 recs on 8 targets, 114 yards, and 1 TD. And what does not show up on the stat sheet is a critical play at the half, where it looks like he should have just taken the reception and snuck out of bounds, but he made a cut and gained an extra couple of yards that put them into a deep field goal range. And that at one point was the difference in that game, if I remember correctly. So very heady play for a rookie who is the Arizona leader in targets over AJ Green, the legend, over DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
He leads all wide receivers for the Cardinals. I hear they're already raising his jersey number in the rafters. So that is speculative. I'm not so that's but so that's yeah, Rondale Moore. Whew, I'm disappointed I couldn't take him last week in the predictions.
He leads in targets, he leads in receptions, he leads in yards.
Yeah. I think he leads all rookies in yards, for all rookie receivers in yards, I believe, if I remember correctly. And he's doing it on 36% or something like that of snaps.
Incredibly high
usage when he's out there. That just makes me think that there's better things to come too. Yeah. And I know people are going to say that, hey, that was a big busted play here. Well, I'm sorry. All the hate that people gave for me about, or not just me, but they gave about his size. Well, can we just say that maybe his height let him sneak through the defense? It wasn't a busted coverage. We'll just say he snuck his way in and around and got that long TD. So it wasn't necessarily busted coverage. So we'll just try to say maybe being short helped him get behind the defense this time. I'm kidding, of course.
Absolutely. No, kudos to you. You were definitely higher on him than anybody here.
Absolutely.
And I would go so far as to say, like, as we got through preseason, like, I was starting to have even more concerns. So I think at this point in my head math, trying to remember last week as well. And I think that he could take 4 or 5 weeks off and still be at the average that I predicted for him.
Yeah, I agree.
Throughout the season. Mm-hmm. So huge shout out to Dave and nailing this. I definitely thought this was going to take a little bit longer. I have switched. I mean, anybody that asked me about advice on Rondale Moore, be it dynasty or redraft, if they're throwing up guys to pick up, and I'm like, go. If Rondale Moore is there, you get him, like, you know, and even against players I liked from last year, I would take Rondale Moore well over Chenault at this point. Dave, you saw that question because I tagged you to it to kind of let you know, it's for real. I believe in this, you know, just from seeing what's happening over 2 weeks. Now, do I think he's going to maintain as the target leader?
No.
I don't Definitely care. Not. Honestly, I don't care at all. But I don't think so. But I don't think it's that's a bad thing either. Like this is for real. Two games of this, and yeah, I love it, Dave.
Dave, I gotta thank you, man. Like we were, you know, as we talk every week, this is something that I let permeate in the off season. I was trading up in the first rounds, and Rondale Moore was my target a lot to do so. Between Elijah Moore, which I got after drafts, and Rondale Moore that I got in drafts, they're by far my two most owned rookie wide receivers in this class.
Ooh, nice.
And by far. And
I can't say that.
The Rondale Moore shares are absolutely because of Dave, because Dave was pounding the table over and over about Rondale Moore, and it clearly got in my brain. And I know why I own those shares is because I'm not saying you're the only one. There's plenty of people that like Rondale Moore, but I think there was enough people that didn't, that put him far enough down that list that he was gettable in these rookie drafts for me. And I was trading a future first for it. That's it. And to me, like, that was gold. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you next year's first, but just give me your Rondale Moore that you just picked in this first. And that, to get that is like, people were just like, oh, I'll totally do that because they weren't happy with the pick.
See, and I was doing the opposite.
Or I did it before they made the pick.
I was doing the opposite, whereas I had like three shares of Rondale Moore, and I was trying to trade him for like deals that I thought would be smash accept, but I continually got rejected, which shows like people were getting a little bit lower on Rondale Moore as well.
They were.
But luckily, I was rejected. Those were some of those trades where your good trades are the ones that don't happen, and those were some of those trades where I was trying to sell. I'm not even gonna lie, and I'm not now. I want to keep even after having these big games.
I will say, guys, some of the concerns do exist. He, you know, he is a smaller size. There are he does have the injury concerns. So you know, there are still some concerns with Rondale Moore. I don't want to have rose colored glasses on. I feel like I did a little bit of a victory. Had a little fun with the intro and talking about it a little bit too. But I also want to shout out Zach Reed from Dynasty Dummies at TassAssassin13 on Twitter. Really had a great time doing that rookie profile with him. And if people want to just go back and listen to that, it was one of my favorite rookie profiles that I did because just the way Zach broke him down and his process, I thought that was a really great episode. If you're seeing what you liked about Rondale Moore now, and maybe you missed some things in your rookie evaluation process, go back and listen to that because I think you might see some things that you might have missed. It was a really great, I think it's an evergreen, that Rondale Moore episode. I thought that was a lot to that episode.
Absolutely. Zach's a smart dude. So we've gushed over Rondale Moore quite a bit. I think it's time we get into these predictions.
I agree.
And
I can't wait.
Finero's going first, so we'll get Spaceman out of the way here. As you heard, Spaceman had Elijah Moore, who was rookie number 7, so that got him plus 6 points. And then he had Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Just missed.
I'm sorry. Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was rookie number 14. So that got him minus 2 points. Really a pretty decent score, especially once we get to Finero and myself. And so we had the plus 6 and the minus 2 to give him positive 4. Put Spaceman at a plus 18 on the season. Moving to Feverish with Trey Sermon, who netted him negative 12. He was rookie number 24. He did score some points. Versus Ramondre Stevenson, who had no points at 27, negative 15 points for that Finero. Way to go.
You guys are just playing it wrong. You're supposed to go for the inactives. Or anyone else that gets concussed during the game. That's the goal.
So that was a negative 15 and a negative 12 for a negative 27 on the week. We get to me. I had Michael Carter, as we mentioned, in the top 12. Rookie number 5, plus 8. Amari Rodgers to tie Ramondre Stevenson, while Amari Rodgers was at least active, for also minus 15. So my 8 to my minus 15 for a minus 7. It put me at a minus 21 on the season and Feverish at a minus 37 for the season. per new rules that are old rules, Finero will be picking first this week.
I feel a little like wrong about changing the rules for this, but I also believe the rules should be this way.
Dave said.
Yeah, they made a point. Like the rest of the season, the person who with the worst score is going to appreciate picking first. I think this week in particular seems also very, very difficult. I had a few names here. I had four that I think are startable in this format. Four, and we have to come up with six. So I'm going to go with the person that was at the top of my list. I'm not allowed to pick Marshall. Not allowed to pick Devonta Smith. I'm not allowed to pick Anthony Swartz. And I can't pick Trey Sermon. Can't pick any of those guys. There's one guy left that or has any rating. That
made it in our top 12.
Yeah. That's a lot of people I can't pick. So, but there's one that I think is second on his team in targets that I think is a big play wide receiver that they want to get more involved that only needs one play to get me in the top 12. And that's Diami Brown versus the Bills. That's going to be my pick.
I like that pick. He is in my notes as somebody I was going to pick for sure.
He was my first one.
You hear that, everyone? They're stumped.
Yeah, you know.
Stumped.
I didn't think you were taking him. It makes total sense. I like it. Now I'm trying to think of what to do here. And I have to make it back to me.
Yep.
I'm going to take, you know what? I'm going to take Amon-Ra St. Brown to make it into the top 12. He almost made it this week. I know Dave couldn't pick him. I'm still a little bit concerned about Finero and whether he would have made it back to me.
He was not, second. Not he was second
with,
on my list.
With
he
who would Dave's going to pick here, so
he would not have made it back. Pick. He did well.
So then, at that point, there's no one left to take. I mean, we're talking like
I know
12% route participation for some of these rookie wide receivers.
I know.
I'm literally frantically looking for people because I was hoping I was going to get something out of these two. I think I'm going to. This is just ridiculous. I'm just going to say, just so if this doesn't work out, I can add to my dislike for the player.
Dude, I was squeaky gonna pick wheel. Him. I was really gonna pick him.
Really? Okay. Squeaky wheel syndrome. I'm thinking Kadarius Toney.
Oh, that's not who I was gonna pick.
I'm trying to think who I don't. Oh, I didn't. Oh, he's another player I was thinking. I almost don't was tell us also thinking. Player.
Are you?
I'm not gonna tell
Kadarius Toney though.
Yeah, I have to because okay. I said I was going to.
I mean, you can switch it if you want. One of us might take him now, but if you want, you can.
No, I know you're gonna take I the don't other care player.
To change it. But I don't want.
Nope.
Kadarius Toney. I won't even lie.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But no, I'm taking Kadarius Toney.
All right.
First round draft pick. You got to give him some manufactured touches or something. Your team, come on here.
Mm-hmm. Back to you, Finero.
I'm in no man's land with you guys right now. So I have two names, and one would follow my trend of not playing, but I think gives me the best shot of points. And the other one who to date hasn't done jack shit, but is on the field and, you know, just would need a touchdown. Mm. That's how this game is played. So between those two, I'm going to go with the guy that's actually on the field, even though I want to take the chance with the other player. I'll let one of you guys snag him up. I just don't need another negative 15. I might get a few points with Josh Palmer. Yeah. Gonna go Josh Palmer.
Okay, I don't mind that.
Versus the Chiefs. The Chiefs are really, really tough versus the wide receiver, in particular on defense. So my hope is that they're so tough on the wide receiver that Josh Palmer sneaks in there and snags one and lands on the list somehow.
I don't hate it at all. I wish you would have stalled a little bit to give me some more time to think here.
I think there's a flyer guy that you know, the one that I was teasing that may not even play.
Well, so I can say one player that I'm picking between.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I mean,
Dave has the last pick, yeah. So you can talk about everything. He's going to get whatever your scraps are.
Well, I'm going back and forth between two players here.
Yeah.
Which two? And I'm going to go.
See how seriously we take this, guys?
I wish it was on video. Like, yeah. We're.
I mean, he's dying.
So I'm going to hope that Trey Sermon clears concussion protocol and starts this week with Elijah Mitchell possibly out.
Well, one of you had to pick Sermon. I couldn't. I wasn't allowed to, but one of you had to. That wasn't the player, ladies and gentlemen, that I was discussing that may or may not play that I wanted to start over Palmer. I'll reveal that after Dave picks.
Well, he's got to try to make up for Kadarius Toney. He's got all these points now. He doesn't even care. He feels bad. He's like giving us the feel bad win this week with Kadarius. I better shut up. Kadarius Toney's going off now.
Yeah. No, it's really squeaky wheel syndrome. And I wish that Dwayne Eskridge was healthy because that I would like to go the.
That was the one.
I thought he was out last week, right? Yeah,
that's the one I was considering gambling on this week. Like he's questionable. He might play.
And my idea was like go the anti-spaceman route and do that. But instead I'm going to go with, I know it was some game script here and he didn't do well with his opportunities here, but just to try to get something, Chuba Hubbard, see if something happens there.
Sure.
He was on my mind. Another guy that I was thinking about was Terrace Marshall.
We can't take him this week.
Correct. We're not allowed to take Terrace Marshall.
Oh.
He's a four-star for me. He had four. He's my number one out of anybody we could have.
That is right.
Until you revealed the 50% list and took him off.
Nico Collins is on the IR. Fire up Justin Fields. We are at Rookie Fever. I am at Swagzilla Zero G. Do you guys have any final thoughts?
I hate my picks, my predictions this week. That's my thoughts.
Nobody cares about your picks, Dave.
Yeah.
I hate your picks, too. And that's what I love about them.
They're not good, but I've seen not good picks win this game. So, and you both loved my picks last week, or at least pretended you did. Oh, I like that one. Yeah, I considered him.
The irony at this point is it would be more fun if Dave's pick just freaking crushed it this week.
It would be. It actually would be. I'm so far gone, it wouldn't even bother me.
You could catch up to my picks this week because that's how bad these two picks I've meant. These are that bad.
Yeah, we'll see.
I am at Swagzilla Zero G. He is at Artmark TV and the FF underscore spaceman knocking you off the hill this week, and we are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. You're going on a treat you ride, rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever, that is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Who got the 101 style? He's never done this to be going right. I told you anyone, size and speed, just on real landing spot, not ideal. Wait, let's just break out a full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now we give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. I'm a fire, fever, yeah, I burn for soup. So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever, now you got the fever. So she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Fever, now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.